Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues is the show's name. And thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world. Isn't that true, Walker?
That is true. We're on the social media platform Facebook.
And so how can people watch the show or listen there?
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, you can go to just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about. And also, you can go to AFR.net and listen to previous shows.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Yeah, you can like our page.
Can't they, Walker?
You can like our page, yeah.
Does that make them a friend?
Yeah, they're personal friends of ours if they like our page.
If they like our page?
Yeah, our page has been growing. We have almost 8,000 friends now.
Really?
Yeah.
And that lay dormant. For years.
Don't ask me their names.
Okay. Well, Ed and I just, we weren't big on promoting new technology. So, but about a year ago, we learned about this Facebook thing.
Yeah.
And I got on it.
It's a useful tool.
It's a face chat.
Yes. Face text. Snapchat. All right. Fred Jackson, news director for One News Now and American Family Radio News is with us this morning. Good morning, Fred.
I'm up on this face Twitter stuff.
I'm just promoting the DVD player.
One News Now.
Have you guys seen that?
The DVD player?
You put a disc in there. It plays movies.
I know. It's amazing.
Hell me.
One News Now has a Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've also learned that Twitter can give you character. Fred, did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You read the Bible and go to Twitter, you'll get some character. Or characters. What is it?
140 of them.
140 characters.
Be precise.
So gotcha. You have a lot of different personalities.
Listen, you guys joke, but I am now on the cutting edge.
Are you now?
My kids, over Christmas, showed me how to do what's called Bitmoji, where you create an avatar that looks like you, and you can send in text messages little images that are doing certain things, and it looks just like you.
Really?
I sent you one the other day.
Okay, you have to teach me how to do that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's
okay, as soon as I get rid of my flip phone, I'll...
That sounds like something you need to be careful about.
What, just letting emojis fly around everywhere?
Fred over there. Fred say, you better be careful out there, technology. I'm just telling you, you're going to get in trouble.
And now from the geriatric ward.
The jitterbug.
All right, Fred, what's going on in the world?
Well, delay, delay, delay. The top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and that would be California Senator Dianne Feinstein, she has succeeded in getting another week's delay in voting on Senator Sessions to be the next Attorney General of the United States. Here's what she had to say today. She said one reason she asked for the delay until January 31st is because of women who marched in Washington and other locations on Saturday. She said the women want equal rights and pay, rights for workers, and protections for the environment. It is these principles, these values, that the Attorney General must defend. So she's asked for a week delay to consider all of this.
This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And I'm assuming Mitch McConnell approved of that?
You assume wrong. Committee rules, apparently, according to this, allow any member of the committee to delay a vote. Now, maybe you can only do it once.
Right.
But they're allowed.
Oh, there's nothing Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, Republican, can do about it.
Apparently.
According to the Senate rules.
That's right.
Hmm. So she's going to personally delay a vote on Sessions.
Yep.
For 1 week. Well, you know what? This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? President Obama's cabinet was appointed the day he was inaugurated. I think all of them.
I think it was seven in one day, and then the next week was five.
Yep. Okay.
So within a week, he had his whole cabinet in place.
And right now, President Trump's cabinet, three?
He's got...
Two of them.
Yeah.
It was the third last night. CIA last night.
Yeah.
So three. So what I'm saying is that Democrats are not treating the Republicans in the like manner that the Republicans treated the Democrats when they were wanted their cabinet appointees.
No.
True. Is that fair?
Different game altogether.
Okay. Because, yeah. You know what, Ed, you were talking earlier about how the Democrats are sore losers.
Right.
Basically, that's what they're showing to be. They lost the presidential election, and President Trump is now having a hard time getting his team on, in place. And, you know, we got work to be done that the American people voted for. And the Democrats seem to be stalling for. They're not going to stop Jeff Sessions from being voted on. So what does it matter whether he's voted on? Why can't they vote on him today? Why do you want to put it off for a week just to stick your finger in the eye of, I guess, Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump?
Well, before the show, this reminds me when I was before I went into the ministry, I was a political science major, and I'll never forget this. And when I was going to Boston College, taking a class, and it was a class about how revolutions take place, and there was a theory called Davies J curve. And it talks about the optimum time for a revolution to break out. And it says it's not when you always think of revolutions when people are the most discouraged and they say, we got to have change. No, it's when people think change is coming and then it's suddenly taken away from them. That's the optimum time, looking through history, for revolutions to break out. I think that is, I'm not predicting a revolution from liberals because I just don't think there's enough of them. But I think that's what you're seeing. This is anger at being denied a third Obama term. I think liberals, I think most people thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. Liberals, secular progressives thought they were going to be able to continue what we see as the dismantling of our constitutional republic. They would see it as globalism and the secular growing state. I think that's what this is. This is anger. Like you said, they're sore losers. They feel like they got robbed. And all the, you know, burning of the Starbucks and lighting cars on fire and the vulgarity from Madonna and Ashley Judd at this Women's March on Saturday, this is all a part of the shock of having been denied Hillary Clinton in the White House.
Well, I think Madonna's statement that she's thought many times about blowing up the White House, that's representative of the anger. That's the level of anger that these people have at conservatives, at white people, at
wealthy
Republicans.
People, you know,
whatever. Yeah. Even though Madonna's got plenty of money,
right?
But I mean. She didn't, by the way, Madonna made these comments that she's thought many times about blowing up the White House. She did this in front of the hundreds of thousands that were on the mall in Washington at this Women's March, and also used.
CNN and C-SPAN were covering
it. Also used obscenities. But imagine if, let's say Toby Keith was playing a protest rally, not that he would do that. But I'm just saying, for example, after President Obama had been sworn into office, the day after, Toby Keith is speaking at a concert or at a protest rally, and he says, "You know what? I've thought about blowing up that White House over there many times," and President Obama was the president. What do you think would happen there? Of course, he would probably be investigated by the FBI. You can't say threats like that against.
Oh, the mainstream media would go ballistic.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. But the liberals get a pass from the mainstream media for the most part. But anyway, we digress. Just to show you that Ed's comments are correct, which goes to why Dianne Feinstein is doing this delay of Jeff Sessions, as I say, unnecessarily.
Yep.
Unnecessarily, because there's no reason why he can't be voted on now. And just she's saying this is a protest delay on my part.
Absolutely. And remember, initially, when Sessions' name came up, he was painted as a racist by the left. And then, of course, there were three black individuals who worked for Jeff Sessions when he was Attorney General in Alabama.
Right.
We worked with him, they said. He is a good man. He is not a racist.
Yeah.
He prosecuted a KKK member.
Right.
That's the truth came out. And the lies and distortions on the left are just absolutely incredible right now.
Well, because they're all in. I mean, look at, if we're talking about secular progressives, there is no afterlife. There is no loving God. There is no loving Savior. You're not going to see your loved ones on the other side when you die. All there is now for a secular progressive. This is it. There is now and successive nows that follow. And Christians and people who believe in limited government and all that, you're in our way.
Yeah.
And the anger that is being stoked, and the media is complicit in this. They continue this. You have all these Hollywood, these celebrities, musicians, whatever. It is a clear divide in this country. And in my view, we are just as divided as we were prior to the Civil War.
Can Trump not fight back on this? I bet he will.
I'm hoping he will. I'm hoping he will. I mean, it got nasty. We were just talking before we went on the air. There was an encounter on the Senate floor between Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator
Tom Cotton.
From Arkansas.
Basically, Cotton confronted Schumer on this whole delay business, this campaign by Schumer. And Schumer said something to the effect, hey, you weren't around 8 years ago when we made this deal, because we're talking about just a moment ago about the easy passing the Republicans gave to Obama's candidates. And basically, you know, Cotton shot back saying, you know, I was serving in the Army in Afghanistan 8 years ago, so don't tell me about where I wasn't 8 years ago. And there's actual YouTube video now of showing this encounter. It was not friendly. Right. This is the environment the Democrats are creating. We've got another story here, though. The Democrats are even angry with themselves. I mean, they're just spewing it. They had a meeting last night, I think it was at Georgetown University, I want to say, of people who want to head the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. And I tell you what, folks, some of the people that have shown up there, one of them was Idaho's Democratic Party. She's the executive director of Idaho's Democratic Party. Her name is Sally Boynton Brown. And she says, we have to teach
them. Wait a minute, just to clarify, you're saying there was a meeting in the Washington, D.C. area yesterday,
yes,
Georgetown,
mm-hmm,
and they are trying to decide, they being the Democrat Party,
yes,
who their next leader is going to be.
Who are the leader of the DNC?
Who the leader of the Democrat National Committee.
Yes.
So it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
And there was Donna Brazile.
And then Donna Brazile was temporary.
And so now you have these other people who are vying for this position.
Yes.
And you're quoting, so this lady is from Idaho. She's a Democrat from Idaho. There's four of them.
Yes.
And four Democrats that live in Idaho, and so you're telling me that you're about to quote her as she's speaking to this group.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Here's what Sally Boynton Brown had to say: Democrats must provide, quote, training that focuses in part on teaching Americans how to be sensitive and how to shut their mouths if they are white. End quote.
We actually have the clip.
Okay. Let's listen. Listen for yourself, folks.
And it makes me sad that we're even having that conversation. And that tells me that white leaders in our party have failed. We have to accept that there is prejudice that exists within our own party. And we have to be able to have that conversation. We cannot sweep that under the rug. We cannot continue to hide it. We cannot smash voices down when they are trying to scream, listen to me, you don't get it. I'm a white woman. I don't get it. I am pleased and honored to be here today to have the conversation. I am so excited that we're here. And I am listening because that's my job. My job is to listen to the issues. My job is to listen and be a voice. And my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. My job is to shut other white people down when they want to say, oh no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm a Democrat. I'm accepting. My job is to make sure that they get, that they have privilege. And until we shut our mouths and we listen to those people who don't.
All right. You know, can I just jump in here?
Now, you just did. Go right ahead.
This is a white woman. Brown is her last name. Sally,
ironically, what
is
it? Sally Boynton Brown.
Sally Boynton Brown. Okay. So she wants to be. Now, I saw a picture on the stage where the other three were minorities, I think, up there, I think, who want to be head of the DNC. So I would say to Sally Boynton Brown, if what you just said is what you really believe, that white people should shut their mouths and listen, then why do you want to be head of the DNC? Why don't you just make a rule and say it's got to be a minority up there?
Right.
White people have privilege. They should sit down, shut up, and listen.
You know,
so Sally Boynton Brown, you should step aside in your desire to be head of the DNC.
Duly noted, Ed. That's a great point. Go ahead,
Walker. I'm glad that this lady is admitting that the DNC has racial problems within their own party. That's interesting.
Yeah, against white people.
Because if you think about it, if you go back 30, 40, 50 years, Democrats are the party of racism. They were for segregation. They were for Jim Crow laws. And it was Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, who had to fight all that. And so really, Republicans don't really have their hands in racism and segregation and all the Jim Crow laws and all the nasty history that the Democrats have. So this is good to see the Democrats within their own party having to deal with this issue.
I tell you what, that's a loser, though. That's a loser issue right there. Because these Democrats have gone so far, far, far left that if they think that's going to attract more voters, then they're sadly mistaken. Because, of course, the last 8 years, with the exception of President Obama's election the last two times, the Democrats have been decimated across this country because they've adopted this far-left agenda, which includes hating on white people.
Well,
I don't understand where they're going with this.
I don't understand. What is the battle she's talking about?
Me neither.
The Democratic Party enjoys the support of the black community in this country.
Right.
Nobody debates that. They enjoy a strong support from the Hispanic community in this country. So what is she talking about?
She's talking about white people need to be shut down, she said.
Yeah.
So and she's gonna do it as a white lady. She's gonna take on whiteies around the country and shut them down. So that you can win elections with what percentage of the population?
This is what we call identity politics, where you divide hope to bring in the opposer that you're dividing. But you can't. They keep first. They cut out all conservatives, so they cut them out.
Right.
Well, now they're cutting out all whites. All whites
out of the Democrat Party.
So what are you going to have left?
They
got Hispanics and blacks.
They purged. Well, and the Hispanics. I don't know if President Trump does well with the economy, then you may see a much higher percentage of Hispanics and even African Americans. Remember, 15%, I think it was, 13 to 15% of African American males voted for Trump. That was higher than Romney.
And if he does well in trying to fix the inner cities.
Then you're going to see that number doubled, These people are in panic mode.
Well, this is what I don't understand. Yesterday, Donald Trump, President Trump, had a big meeting with union leaders. They came out in the White House driveway there to give a little press conference afterwards. The union leaders, they
traditionally have, Democrat,
traditionally representing millions, and amongst their members of those unions are white people, black people, Hispanic people, you name it. He says we're going to support Donald Trump. He understands us. After his meeting yesterday with these union leaders, he took them into the Oval Office. Some of these guys were saying, we've never been invited in the Oval Office before. Never.
Yeah, I asked you this morning. I said, are you sure? But that's what they said. Union leaders never invited into the Oval Office.
Huh. They were praising Donald Trump. We want to work with this man. So there you have it. The issue here is not what your skin color is. Everybody, regardless of skin color, we want jobs.
Right.
And Donald Trump is saying, I'm not going to make a litmus test based on people's skin color and race. Mm. I want jobs for everybody.
Well,
that's why he won the election. Mm. That's why he had union members. That's why he had blue-collar workers voting
for him.
That's
why he won Rust Belt states that nobody expected him to win.
You're listening to the radio program Rant here on American Family Radio. No, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, David Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We've been talking, about a lot of different things, but mainly what Fred was referencing there, the clip we played, was a lady from Idaho who is
She's the executive director of Idaho's Democratic Party.
Okay, and she wants to be the national chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a self-loathing white woman by the name of what?
Her name is Sally Boynton Brown.
Yeah, if she could have been born anything else, she would have been. But she unfortunately had to be born white, and now she doesn't like white people.
She's so optimistic about our country.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. My job is as Democrat national chairman would be to shut down white people. This is just bizarro world. I don't think the Democrats. I'm not going to give them advice because I hope they keep wallowing in this mental
health. Well, when you look at the popularity of Bernie Sanders during the primary campaign, hard fought against Hillary Clinton, and really, if it had not been for the super delegates that had already establishment people that had already pledged themselves to Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders would have come very close to a major upset.
An outright socialist.
An outright socialist.
Yeah.
That's where the Democrat Party is what you're saying.
And that's where it looks like it's headed. Outright socialism, Black Lives Matter, and then
abortion on demand through 9 months, federal government pays for it.
Yeah, and
these
then
people
this Sally Boynton Brown, that kind of racial attitude.
Yeah.
That's where they're going, and there is just no political future in that direction.
Yeah, and not only is that direction morally bad, you know, when you look at the facts, but the good thing about the Republican Party is we pick up everybody they leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
They leave behind all the workers, the people who just want to go to work, I want to have health insurance, affordable things, and I want to send my kids to a good school.
Yeah.
The Republican Party, and I think they will pick up all those voters.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see the person that, when will they choose their new leader?
The DNC, well, I think there's still a long fight there. This has been going on for some time. Was Keith Ellison the?
Yeah, they were talking about is he the only Muslim House of Representatives?
He
was the first.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
From Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He'd like to be the DNC chair.
And they had talked about him this several weeks ago.
I know.
Now that's another direction you're going.
Right.
And I'm with you, Tim. I don't want to give them any advice that'll save them pain. You know, I want the pain to come.
I think they need to do a combo right there. Get the Muslim and the
self-loathing white woman.
Self-loathing white woman and make them a team to hit the trail.
And a socialist. Don't forget a socialist.
And throw a socialist in there,
right.
Too. And oh, my goodness. Out into the misfits. Remember that? Remember that from the Christmas special?
Oh, that's for yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Rudolph
so anyway, but the, you know, but the Democrats on the Senate are holding up Trump's nominations now, and I'm gonna tell you, I don't know that I haven't heard this, I haven't read this, I've been in meetings all morning, I don't know what, but just knowing what we know about Donald Trump and how he operates, if he feels like he's being treated unfairly. All together now. Let me look at your faces. What does Donald Trump do?
Donald he fights
Trump,
back.
He fights back like a barroom brawler.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes some people uncomfortable, but a lot of Americans are saying they like that, you know. And so I can just see Trump, President Trump, getting on the phone with Chuck Schumer from New York, who he knows personally, saying, look, Chuck, you better quit delaying my votes on my nominees or you ain't getting no bridge money. You hear me? We will shut down your money for your projects that you want in your state. Now, do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Right.
See, most presidents in the past wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Trump, I can see him tweeting tonight going, you know, little Chucky.
Yeah.
Little Chucky thinks he's going to get bridge money for Albany, and he ain't getting none. If he doesn't let you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. They're my nominees. Pass them.
I could see that. If he feels like he's being treated unfairly, Donald Trump is very sensitive about that
he's
kind of thing.
He's a sensitive guy.
He's a sensitive guy
very
about
sensitive.
That. We will be back in 2 minutes with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Mike Berry, Senior Counsel for First Liberty.
The members of our military, when they sign up to serve, when they raise their right hand to swear an oath to defend the Constitution, We voluntarily give up many of our freedoms, but religious freedom was never one of the freedoms that we agreed to give up.
We'll also hear from Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Alex McFarland, and the latest news. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, not a big fan of President Trump. He unloaded on America's new president during an interview the other day with the Chicago Sun-Times, complaining about the tone of his inaugural address, said it was bleak and combative. His feathers also got ruffled when President Trump brought up Chicago's homicide rate, a 60% surge in shootings and murders since last year. The president wants to unshackle police departments, restore law and order. But Mayor Emanuel seems to think the police officers are the problem, not lawlessness. He says officers need to be more professional. The mayor also took a cheap shot at the president, said he was not elected to debate the crowd size at his inauguration. Well, if only Mayor Emanuel obsessed as much about the number of people being slaughtered in the streets of Chicago. For more on this story, check out ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano and Fred Jackson. Walker Wildman is keeping our Facebook page humming with posting articles that we talk about here. So go to Facebook Live for Today's Issues to check that out. Sandy Rios with Sandy Rios in the Morning here on AFR at Talk. And she's also Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. Sandy joins us every Tuesday that she can to get her thoughts on what's going on. And Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Always nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Sandy.
By the way,
yes, go ahead.
Did you tell them what a great time we had in Washington?
I know. Wasn't it wonderful? Yes, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. We were able to be together with Sandy and her husband, Bruce, and a lot of other friends at the inauguration. Now, you and Bruce, you walked you walked down there to the inauguration with the crowd, right?
Yeah, we did. You know what? There's just something wonderful about being able to see the Capitol. I know people saw it on television.
Right.
How beautifully draped it was, but it was just wonderful to see it in person, and then also to just stand with the people. So we stood where we could see the Capitol, but we could also watch on the Jumbotron. So
yeah,
it was, and just to be with the people was fun. Yeah.
Hey, Sandy, we were talking earlier about Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader. He and the Democrats are evidently going to practice this delay tactics that they can do by Senate rule for up to a week, I think. Dianne Feinstein today said she's going to block Jeff Sessions' vote. She's the Democrat senator from California. She's going to block a vote on him for a week. Yeah, to honor the women who were at the rally in Washington on
Saturday.
Of course, what do you think about this tactic, this strategy that the Democrats are using just to delay for what purpose? For delay's sake? I mean, they're not going to win. They're not going to stop these nominees on a vote.
Well, just remember that one of the mottos of the far left is it's all in the struggle. It's only the struggle.
Is what?
I don't really necessarily.
What's the motto?
It's all in the struggle. The struggle is where it's at. It's the striving, okay. You know. In other words, they don't necessarily have a destination in mind. They'd like to destroy and undermine, but I'm not sure they know what that looks like. But they do enjoy the struggle. They like to fight. They like to obstruct. You know, the very thing they accuse the Republicans of doing is what they do best, which is always the case, and that is obstruct and prevent and wreak havoc, really. So, they, you know, the one thing about it, though, that, and I can't, Tim, I'm far from an expert on Senate procedures, but if Mitch McConnell is an expert on anything, it's Senate procedure. And I can't, I myself am thinking, now surely there's a way that they could stop this nonsense, at least in part. Surely there's a way. So I don't know the answer to that, but I guess I'm just positing that just for pondering's sake.
Yeah. Well,
they're just trying to discredit Trump in any way that they can, mm-hmm. to undermine his leadership, to prevent him from doing, you know, he's already hit the ground running in a major way. And they're just trying to stop anything and everything that they can.
Yeah. What about the women's rally? So what they called it, I just basically call it I'm for abortion rally, which they had on the mall in Washington and other places around the country, and they said around the world. On Saturday, after the inauguration on Friday, where you had these women give talks, and speeches, and some of them sang. They're protesting Donald Trump because Donald Trump is going to, you know, take away women's suffrage. And I'm trying to think what else he's going to.
Well, he's going to force them.
He's not going to give them equal pay.
Force them to go back to the kitchen.
Yes.
And, you know, and cook for their man.
Make
and
them use a coat hanger.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that they're saying. What is going on there with that situation?
Well, I think, you know, Madonna in her speech said a couple of times the rebellion has begun.
Right. Revolution.
Revolution,
I think.
Yeah. And I found myself thinking, you know, this really is, they are talking about a rebellion and a revolution of a different kind, even if she doesn't know it. This is a rebellion against God, against order of any kind. It isn't just about supposed women's rights. That's egregious enough. But it really is just, it's just evil for evil's sake. I think of, Ashley Judd. Did you hear her speech?
Oh, my goodness.
I read it and then saw clips of it.
Oh, my word.
It was absolutely the most vulgar, repulsive. And what was she complaining about, I wonder? What is it that Ashley Judd doesn't have? This, you know, woman who is raised in privilege. Her mother is a multimillionaire, you know, singer-songwriter. Her sister, too. She's an actress. Has been in some of the finest movies. So what privilege, what is it that she's missing? The other part that's so ironic to me is that they are talking about how Trump is so vulgar and nasty, and certainly he has been the epitome of the rich boy, playboy who has, you know, had his way with a lot of women, and he's been very vulgar, at least in the past, in conversations. We've all heard that. But this criticism coming from Madonna? Who has recorded some of the most vile songs, taken the most blasphemic photos of herself, pressed the edge of morality and decency beyond what any singer did, really leading the way for all of what I believe is a crass, embarrassingly lowbrow performances of today's female music artists. Ashley Judd, too, playing some roles that are just, and they're offended by Donald Trump.
See if I'm correct on this one. Then I want to talk to you about the executive order having to do with Mexico City in just a minute, because that's something very positive that happened yesterday by President Trump. But I want to ask you this, Sandy. Here's what I think, if you could boil all this down from Saturday with the Women's March. in Washington and the other places. It's not about equal pay for equal work. They've had 8 years. They could have rallied last year on this one. This is about Donald Trump's commitment to the pro-life cause. And he has vowed to appoint a Supreme Court justice that would be pro-life. You get one or two of those kind of people to replace liberals on the Supreme Court, there's a possibility that Roe versus Wade could be overturned in the next 5 years. That is their golden calf. Abortion on demand through 9 months. Mm. And that's why they say things like, keep your rosaries off my ovaries. That's why they have blasphemous signs against Christianity at these rallies. Because they view that as a threat to women's rights. That's what they would say. Women's rights, the chief among them, it would be what they call reproductive freedom.
Right.
That's the way they phrase it. Reproductive freedom means I have a right to kill my unborn baby.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. But you have to change it to something that sounds something like positive. So they call it reproductive freedom. I think that's what this is. That's what this was about on Saturday more than anything else. What do you think, Sandy?
Well, I think you're right. I think there's no question about it. You said it well, Tim. Isn't it ironic that women who God has given the most incredible ability and privilege of bearing children. I mean, I can't think of anything in my life that has been more of a thrill, in spite of the pain of it, than giving birth to my children and raising them. And that's what God created women with, that unique ability. And that women should then, this movement should so praise and worship the ability then to destroy that life and be proud of it, and in the process defile themselves by talking about their own bodies in the most vile and vulgar ways, to reduce themselves to such a low position that it is absolutely unthinkable, and that it's become so mainstream, and that millions of women would agree and shout and cheer. This really is a movement of the darkness. It is really a satanic movement. It is the opposite of God's plan.
Amen. It is. Your amen being what you speak the truth. But I will say this: the liberal, it should have been called the liberal women's march, because there are half the country, at least, women don't agree with the, I would say more, but at least half the country, women do not agree with the what we've just described as the, quote, women's march or women's movement. I know a lot of women who I know get offended when they hear that, you know, the women's march, it's, and you have to be pro-abortion. You know, they don't, like Sandy and millions of other women around America, they don't subscribe to the pro-abortion cause, but they're no less a woman, you know.
Right.
But you know, it's kind of like, in order to be black, you can't be like Clarence Thomas. You can't have conservative thoughts, or you're not really a black person. Well, you can't, in their minds, you can't be a woman unless you believe in abortion,
right,
on demand. That's the way these people think. Go ahead, Fred.
You know, to your point, Sandy, and I know you know Kellyanne Conway. I think I've heard you say that you know her well. It was really interesting. There's the March for Life this Friday in Washington. There are going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of women.
It's an annual march.
Who will be there for that. I was so proud this morning. Kellyanne Conway was being interviewed, and she was saying, I'm going to be at that march. I am pro-life.
This coming march, this weekend's march.
On Friday,
right.
Yes. I'm going to be there. There will be representatives of the Trump administration. They're going to be at that march because our president is pro-life.
That Kellyanne Conway said that?
She said that. Kellyanne Conway.
Out loud?
She must not be a woman then.
Yeah.
She needs to go get retrained by the Republican establishment. You're not supposed to talk like that.
That was absolutely, what a contrast to what you guys just been talking about. These speakers that were at the rally last Saturday, and now what you're going to see this Friday, and to have a senior advisor to the President of the United States saying proudly, I will be at that march to support the pro-life cause.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
You know, Fred, actually, Kellyanne is going to be one of the speakers. So is Eric Metaxas. I'm actually planning to be there, Bruce and I both. One of the things, when we saw that march, we got to see at least a portion of it, and you probably did too. I'll just say one anecdote. We were passing by a small group of people, and they were carrying two signs. One of them was Black Lives Matter, and the other one was Keep Abortion Safe and Legal. And so I just rolled down the window, and I said, unborn baby Black Lives Matter too. Mm. You know, and I just think that we were so appalled by what we saw that we feel it's very important that this march on Friday is really the best potential response to the so-called Women's March last weekend that we could possibly do. Because it is a beautiful event.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there probably won't be as many people because and the media will make a big deal of that because it's an annual march. So you might have 100,000, 200,000 people there.
And George Soros isn't going to be funding it, yeah. You know, bussing people in.
Yeah.
So.
But it's the annual annual March for Life. Well, on the good news front, Sandy, President Obama, excuse me, I knew that was going to happen somewhere along the way. It's kind of like when the new year flips over and in March, it takes you to March to start writing the same date,
yeah,
the right date. The right year on your checks, you know that? Okay,
yes,
it's going to take a little while. Don't anybody tell Donald Trump that I just did that because he'll probably blast me on Twitter. But I'm just President Trump signed a very good executive order yesterday called the Mexico City policy. What is that, Sandy?
Well, the Mexico City policy, I think that was implemented by Ronald Reagan, I think. It's been in place for a long time.
1984.
Okay. So, and it was to prevent U.S. dollars from funding any overseas entities that support or promote abortion. And so, under Obama, it was not used. I mean, it was ignored. And the particular words for what took place, I don't have the exact description. It's just that it wasn't enforced. And now President Trump on his first day, you know, signed an executive order that absolutely the Mexico City policy is enforced. And no U.S. dollars will pay for abortions through any foreign entities that support or encourage abortion. Won't happen. That's huge. That really is huge. That's a big sign right there. It's been ironic that many, many conservatives, and of course we wondered about Donald Trump, about where he really stood, because he has changed his mind on some things, and one of them is abortion. And a lot of people wondered, you know, I've heard it said, he's not really pro-life, he's just playing both sides. But I'm telling you, just as you described, Tim, he signed that order yesterday. He's sending Kellyanne is going to that march. He will appoint a pro-life justice, I'm sure of it. And I don't know what more we could ask on that and that issue.
No, I agree with you. I think it'll be proven out, if it hasn't been already, that Donald Trump's conversion from pro-abortion to pro-life was genuine and real. And I think if he was going to be phony about it, first of all, it wouldn't have worked. You can't be phony about that and get away with it. But that he would have shown signs.
Even during the debates.
He would have shown signs of the debate. Is he the most comfortable person in the world speaking about this issue? Probably not, but he's learning and has learned. He did himself very well when he talked about this during the last debate, and he painted partial birth abortion in such graphic terms, and he said he didn't stand for that, what he described, you know, as the tearing up of the baby. And so I think he's learned a lot on this, been educated a lot on this. Mike Pence is very pro-life. Kellyanne Conway is very pro-life. For the most part, his senior advisors there are all pro-life. The Republican Party platform is pro-life. The majority of the Republican Senate and congressmen are pro-life. So I think if he were going to back away from this issue or try to play politics with it, he would tell Kellyanne Conway, you can't go to that rally with all those whacked out pro-lifers. Now, we got their votes, but that's all we're doing for them. We'll throw them a little penance here and there. No, Donald Trump is this is his top aide. She's going to get She's going to get blasted by the media for this. But again, this is the good side of Donald Trump. I think he doesn't care. Sometimes you wish he did care a little bit more. But in this case, he doesn't care. And they're going to go after him, I'm sure, and go after her on this when she shows up at the pro-life rally. But you know what? When he spoke to Leslie Stahl the day after the election, Donald Trump I'm talking about, and she asked him about this and pressed him on this issue, he said, I'm going to appoint pro-life justices. This is what I campaigned on. I said it openly. I'm paraphrasing now. And then Leslie Stahl goes, well, what about if Roe v. Wade is overturned and some states outlaw abortion? He said, well, what will the poor young ladies do who need an abortion? This is how she couched it. And he said, well, I guess they'll have to go to another state. So when he said that, to me, that said he's locked in on this. Right. He understands it. He gets it. He was prepared for the question. He didn't waffle. He didn't vacillate. He didn't have brain fog or what do I say now? I'm trapped. He answered the question correctly. And so I give him kudos for that. Sandy, thanks so much for your time, and God bless you. And as you go, hey, can we check, when is the Rally for Life, Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday. It's this Friday.
Okay, so and Monday.
It starts midday, I think around noon. Yeah.
Okay, so next Tuesday you'll be able to tell us about it on this interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You betcha.
Thanks, Sandy.
Betcha.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
By the way, the Mexico City policy, it's gone back and forth. Bill Clinton rescinded it as soon as he took office. George Bush reinstated it. Barack Obama rescinded it, you know, first, I think, in fact, first day or two when he took office, and now Trump reinstitutes it. So Democrat, Republican, it's either rescinded or reinstated. So
speaks to the values difference.
Absolutely. Very, very clear.
Yeah.
This difference between the parties, and we've known that for a while.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and Fred Jackson. Walker Wildman. Walker, what have you posted on the Facebook page?
Well, I posted an article talking about the confirmation hearings and the confirmations by the cabinet appointments. And also in the news right now, Trump just signed two executive orders reviving the Keystone and the Dakota Access pipelines. Mm-hmm. So the construction on those are going to continue now. Those have been on hold for several years.
Two more of the promises he made during the election campaign.
Yeah.
And those are so important. It goes to his conversations with the union leaders yesterday, the jobs that those pipelines would create. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. And also goes to the point of energy independence.
Right.
This is what he's all about.
This guy, this is extraordinary. I mean, he is keeping his promises.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in rapid fashion. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, okay, now I'm elected. Well, we're going to have to work through, you know, some of the,
we're at the, moderate.
Know, the controversy. You're going to moderate. You know, right. He's saying, listen, I promise this. I can get this done, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. He also said that next week he'll announce his Supreme Court nomination.
Yeah.
Next week.
You know, the global warming crowd is just going, they're imploding or exploding, which is probably going to lead to more global warming.
A lot of methane gas being released.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, Donald Trump, to the global warming crowd, I'm talking about man-made global warming crowd, against fossil fuels. They want everybody to ride a bike. These people, they believe Donald Trump is a flat earther.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you question their belief in man-made global warming going to be the demise of our world, then you are against science, you're an irrational person, you're uneducated, and so for Donald Trump to sign this executive order opening up Keystone Pipeline, which brings more fossil fuels online, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why President Obama blocked this along the way.
Right.
So President Trump's now saying no, bringing the pipeline. Isn't that the pipeline from Canada to the U.S. bringing oil?
Keystone comes across the border from Canada to the from the tar sands in Alberta. The Dakota one is the one that's been in the news a lot during the last few months of the Obama administration, where Native Indians were protesting up there. So those two. Now, what route it takes, supposed to be in the courts, but he's saying we're going to go ahead with this.
I think you meant Native Americans.
Yes.
You said Native Indians.
You could Indians or Native American is...
Native Indians to me would be from Calcutta.
Native Indians. Okay, Native I see what you mean. Huh? Either or. Native Americans or Indians, but not Native Indians.
I stand corrected.
Kind of like
I stand corrected.
Snap face.
That
it,
the record show, chat. That was insensitivity on Fred's part, and he's from Canada.
And Canadians are never rude.
No,
never rude or
insensitivity. Hey, we got Sean Spicer. Is that his name?
Yes, sir. Press secretary.
Get to know him. He's the new press secretary for Donald Trump. And he's not taking it anymore. Sean Spicer. That's a great name for that Spicer. I mean, Sean's, it just sounds like an attack dog, doesn't it? Come here, Sean Spicer. Come here, boy.
Like Pitbull.
Huh? Yeah. He Sean Spicer is the new press secretary, and he personifies his boss in many ways. I mean, well, just listen to him. What are we about to listen to, Walker?
We're about to listen to Sean Spicer and an ABC reporter.
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yeah, they're exchanging on whether Sean Spicer is going to be truthful from the press secretary podium or not.
All right.
Before I get to a policy question, just a question about the nature of your job.
Yeah.
Is it your intention to always tell the truth from that podium, and will you pledge never to knowingly say something that is not factual?
It is. It's an honor to do this. And yes, I believe that we have to be honest with the American people. I think sometimes we can disagree with the facts. There are certain things that we may not fully understand when we come out, but our intention is never to lie to you, Jonathan. Our job is to make sure that sometimes, and you're in the same boat. I mean, there are times when you guys tweet something out or write a story and you publish a correction. That doesn't mean that you were intentionally trying to deceive readers and the American people, does it? And I think we should be afforded the same opportunity.
Wow, yeah, that's good.
That was the ABC reporter, Jonathan Carl is his name. Can you imagine any of those reporters in the front row in the press room there saying that to a press person for Barack Obama?
Josh Earnest.
Yeah. Are you going to always tell us the truth?
Mm. Right.
They never got a question like that.
No.
They never got a question like that.
Which is representative of the problem of the liberal media bias.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Sean Spicer turned it on on the reporter said, you know, you're responsible for telling the truth also.
Yes.
I was much more impressed with him, Sean Spicer, on day two than I was on day one. Not that I know. I'm just talking about the style. Now, a lot of people disagree with me on that. I'm talking about the night of the Saturday night when he came out and
well, there are a lot of people who
he blasted
said
the
he was told by Trump to go out there and let him have it.
I'm just saying not that what he was saying was wrong. It's just that he went out there and
both barrels
didn't take questions.
No, didn't take questions. Anyway, I just like. He did. He took the same strong, bold approach. He just did it in a little bit better way. Of course, the guy's new on the job. He's still learning how to do this. But I was very impressed with Sean Spicer from the comments we just heard and how he handled a press conference yesterday. And, you know, with Donald Trump, the old expression comes to mind, there's a new sheriff in town.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. And... we will talk more about this. By the way, Dr. Robert Jeffress, who preached at the church on Inauguration Day morning, to Donald Trump, we're going to talk to him in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.